We are resuming Mark chapter 6 today, and we come to the feeding of the 5,000, starting in verse 30. We've skipped over John the Baptizer's death, his beheading by King Herod. But you need to know that that's the story immediately before the feeding of the 5,000. Herod was at a dinner party, a banquet, with all of his nobles and chief officers. His stepdaughter danced at the event, and Herod was pleased by her. He offered her whatever she wanted, and under the influence of her mother, she asked for John's head on a platter. And that's what Herod did. He had John beheaded, and the head was presented on a platter at the dinner party. Why is that important for our passage today? Because Mark 6 presents us with two meals, two banquets back to back. One hosted by Herod, the other hosted by Jesus. That's intentional. Mark wants you to see the contrast between Jesus' table and Herod's table. In verse 30, the apostles had just completed their journeys, going two by two into the villages, preaching, healing, and casting out demons. They came back to Jesus to tell him about everything they had done. So Jesus said, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Back in chapter 3, Jesus' ministry was so busy that they couldn't so much as eat bread. The same situation was happening again. Many people were coming to them, and they had no time to eat. So Jesus told the apostles to go to a deserted place to rest. You can imagine that they were very glad to hear that. Finally, a much-needed break, but not quite yet. They would have to wait a while before resting. As they got into the boat, it says the multitudes ran on foot to the deserted place and got there before the boat did. By the time Jesus and the 12 got there, they were met by all those people. So much for resting, yeah? But Jesus wasn't annoyed by this. Verse 34 says he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Jesus took the time to minister to the sheep even though he wanted to eat and rest. He made himself interruptible. He made himself interruptible, putting other people's needs before his own. Verse 35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Jesus saw the crowd as sheep without a shepherd, and he attended to them as a shepherd. But the disciples knew that the people would need to eat. And the only rational solution was to send the people away to buy themselves food. Anyone would have thought that. That's what you would normally do. But in this moment, it would mean sending the sheep away from their shepherd. Jesus didn't want that. Jesus had a better plan. Verse 37, he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." Notice that Jesus didn't say, "They don't have to go away, I'll feed them." He said, "No, you give them something to eat." Meaning the apostles. Jesus wanted the apostles to step up and do something to feed the sheep. There's an emphasis on the apostles' ministry in this story, and we'll see more of it as we continue. So the apostles did what Jesus said. They found 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, which was not much at all. What in the world could be done with this amount? How would the apostles feed the crowd with so little resources? It seemed impossible. They didn't know it yet, but Jesus would provide what they lacked. He told the apostles to make everyone sit on the green grass. So this deserted place wasn't a barren desert or anything like that. There was green grass. But it was a secluded and unpopulated area. He had them sit down in ranks, in hundreds and fifties. And then he began the miracle. Verse 41. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. There's some foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper here that we shouldn't miss. Jesus took the food, blessed it, which means he gave thanks for it. Then he broke the loaves and passed them to the disciples. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the sacramental meal, he did the same things in the same order. He took the bread, gave thanks, then broke the bread, then passed it on. That's the order we follow for communion, though many churches do not. We also sit during communion. Not every church does that. But they were seated at the Last Supper, and here Jesus commanded the crowd to sit on the green grass. Jesus followed these steps more than once. They were intentional. And that should shape how we think about communion and how we do communion. After the distribution, verse 42 says, they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. We're not given the exact amount of how many people this was until the end of the story. The miracle was that the bread and fish multiplied to feed 5,000 men. They started out with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that was not a problem for Jesus. Jesus supplied enough food for everyone. Jesus supplied what they lacked. And this isn't the first time that miracle food pops up in the Bible. On the ark, during the flood, I suspect much of the food and its preservation was miraculous. In the wilderness, Yahweh fed the Israelites with manna, bread from heaven. And actually, the Greek word in Mark 6 for a deserted place is the same word for the wilderness. That should make us think of the Exodus story. Yahweh led his people into the wilderness and fed them miraculously. So Jesus led the people to the wilderness to feed them with miracle food. What else? In Elijah's narrative, the widow's flour and oil never ran out. They were multiplied. At one time, Elijah received food from ravens, and then bread and water lasted him 40 days. Likewise with Elisha. He instructed a widow to fill her vessels with oil, which was another multiplication. Elisha also provided food for 100 men with only 20 loaves of barley. Jesus multiplying bread and fish revealed him to be a true prophet, and ultimately as Yahweh in the flesh. It's either Yahweh or his prophets who give miracle food, and Jesus is both. That also means He's a true king, a good shepherd. Kings in the Bible are called shepherds. When Jeremiah pronounced judgment against the shepherds of Israel, it was about the kings of Judah. Jeremiah prophesied that the oppressive shepherds would be replaced by a righteous king from David. Jeremiah switches from shepherds to kings. He uses them interchangeably. Bad shepherds destroy and scatter the sheep, but the true king keeps the sheep together. To be a king is to be a shepherd, and Jesus was fulfilling that role in this story. Psalm 23 was being fulfilled. Think about it. Yahweh is my shepherd. Jesus saw they had no shepherd and began to teach them. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Jesus commanded them to sit, or literally from the Greek, to recline on green grass. Green pastures, green grass. He leads me beside still waters. This occurred next to a body of water. We know that because they had just gotten off of the boat. And you prepare a table before me. Jesus fed the crowd. The kingly aspect of shepherding might help us understand why there were five loaves. Have you ever wondered why five loaves? Why two fish? Maybe they represented Jews and Gentiles. 5 + 2 = 7, the number of completion. There's a lot of symbolism going on here. But there's only one other instance of five loaves in the Bible. And it's when David and his military men were fed with five loaves from the showbread. David, the shepherd king, fed his men with five loaves. And so did Jesus, the new David, the true king and shepherd of Israel. Hopefully you're starting to see the parallels and contrasts with King Herod. Herod was at a meal with his nobles and chief officers. King Jesus was at a meal with his nobles, the 12 apostles. Herod told his men to serve John's head on a platter, which was death. Murder was on the menu at Herod's banquet. But Jesus told his men to serve true food, food that nourishes and gives life. Life was on the menu at Jesus' banquet. Now, it was Jesus' banquet. He's the one who did the miracle. But who did most of the serving? The apostles. Jesus did the miracle, but it was the apostles who gave the food to the people. The apostles fed the sheep. They worked together with Jesus to feed the sheep. After eating, they collected 12 baskets of leftovers. 12 baskets for 12 apostles. The numerical connection is obvious and significant. Jesus is the good shepherd, but the disciples functioned as shepherds themselves. They were Jesus' under-shepherds, we might say. We heard from Ephesians 2 this morning. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church, but the apostles and prophets were also foundation stones. He's the chief foundation, but they are also foundation stones under him. Likewise, Jesus is the chief shepherd, but the apostles were also shepherds themselves. Jeremiah 23 says, "I will appoint shepherds over them who will feed them." The apostles fulfilled that passage. The apostles needed to learn that they were shepherds of the people, and not just for miracles and exorcisms, which is what they had been doing, but even for simple things like bread and fish. They should have gotten the point when they looked around and saw each of them with a basket of leftovers. A basket of leftovers. The baskets weren't full just to throw out. They were full in order to feed more. The apostles were to continue the work of feeding God's people. What did Jesus say to Peter when he restored him? He said, "Feed my sheep." That was the apostles' job. And they do all of this stuff again when Jesus fed the 4,000, which would come shortly after this event. There was more miracle food for the apostles to distribute. What does all of this mean for you? We learn from this story that rest is good. Rest is necessary. Jesus wanted to go away to rest. Even for those who are in full-time ministry, it's important to have rest and relaxation. You can plan and schedule those times, but you must always be interruptible. You must always be interruptible as Jesus was. Rest is good, but there is always work to be done. And you don't know when God is going to send someone your way who needs your help right then and right there. It could happen at any time. And so you have to be ready and willing to be interrupted. It's how we serve others. It's how we show our love to others. When God brings you those moments, will you be resentful and upset and annoyed? Or will you look upon the person with compassion? That's the Jesus way. That's the heart of a shepherd. Jesus wants you to feed his sheep with goodness and truth. Be ready and be willing to do that. And you might not have all of the resources to help someone. Many times you will not. For those in ministry, it can be difficult because we don't have all the answers. We're not all powerful. We're not all knowing. But Jesus is. Jesus has the resources and he will supply what you lack. The best thing I can do as a pastor, which means shepherd, is to point you toward Jesus's resources. That is the best thing I can do for you, is to point you toward Scripture, to point you toward the Holy Spirit, to point you toward Jesus's resources. All I can do is serve you the food that Jesus provides. And it is your responsibility to be receptive of that provision. So whose table would you rather eat at? Herod's? Or Jesus's? Herod's table will probably look more exciting. The party will be extravagant. You will be tempted to attend. But it's a party that leads you to death. Jesus's table leads you to life. He calls you to a desolate place, a place of refuge from the world. He invites you to a simple meal with ordinary food. Bread and wine. Communion doesn't look all that exciting, does it? It's just a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. But this is the table that truly nourishes. Jesus doesn't feed off the flesh of others. He doesn't lead the sheep to the slaughter. He went to the slaughter himself. And he offers you his body and his blood. Run to where Jesus is. Go where you see Jesus going, just like the multitude did. Run to Jesus and run to his faithful under-shepherds. And your needs will be provided for. Trust in Jesus. He is the one who supplies what you lack.